We're in the infamous Blue Room, exciting to be here with Lily May. Hi, Lily.
Hi, Craig.
Wow. Lots to talk about, but we won't cover the ground that we covered a year ago in a phenomenal. I went back and listened to a lot of our conversation about your background and about Lower Broadway and your, you know, getting the family band going and keep going. And I really recommend people go listen to that because
Thank you.
A wonderful talk, and I really appreciated meeting you. So here we are, 2 years since the release of your first record, For Third Man, and tell me about these 2 years and what you've experienced because of being able to be on this wonderful record label and being out there on the road and having people identify you now as a singer-songwriter with that project and seeing the project get in year-end lists and so forth, you know.
Right.
What a wonderful ride for somebody that's been working hard at music since you were a kid.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, it's too cool. Like, within the last couple of years, like, exactly what you just said is, like, we just went and played a couple of weeks opening up for the Rockin' Tours and, like, a couple people singing along in the crowd, you know, like a couple, but like, it was like, that's huge. That was so just like that moment. Like I like later, I was like, damn, that's something. This is a new song that this girl is literally singing along every word. I just like, was like, wow, that's amazing. And that hit me as a moment like of like, you know, and I mean, it's not like time doesn't get away from me where I'm not grateful or like, where I don't think, oh, this is wonderful. This is, you know, I'm lucky to be here. But like, you know, but like there are, you know, so many reminders.
Yeah. Well, big things can be sparked by a little moment of recognition. In that little thing says a lot. What about some favorite headliner gigs for you? Any venues or cities that you visited that really felt like, damn, this is rock star and I get to be the star of this show?
Well, I think a huge one for me was I was sick as a dog. But like we played London and it was a sold out show. It was like the only other sold out shows I've ever had or been part of was here at Third Man, was for album release last year or 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And that was sold out, you know, and that was a lot of friends and family, mostly friends and family. And then there were some a lot of listeners, obviously, as well. But like, I couldn't believe it that we sold, I just couldn't believe it, you know? So there was like, we sold out Third Man and then there was one show, but that was a headlining show at Hoxton Bar and Kitchen in London. Mm-hmm. And it was, it was like, wow, that's crazy to think that, you know, and it hasn't happened since. And most of the headlining shows that I did or have done, there's like 12 to 30 people there maybe, you know, so it's like cool, you know.
It's not an instant ticket to working, is it? Yeah.
No, but if it was, like, I'm still very much getting my shit together constantly, you know, and I really need to, and even just like this last tour we just came back on, I'm like, okay, great. I have a list of things I'm going to be working on, you know, like show wise and like, and you know, cause it's like, it's easy to just reach in the back pocket and pull out your, you know, oh, I'm comfortable doing this. Like, you know, it's like, I've kind of realized even last night having a big conversation just kind of about things and like yeah, I gotta, well,
is there one thing that on that list that you'd share, or can you be a little specific?
Sure. Like, just like show wise I mean, if you go and hear a show, I got a lot of friends that are putting on good shows, you know, and it's like, and to just, I'm just so comfortable with just going and playing the songs. It's like, or not, I don't mean like necessarily like I'm excited about new songs and all that, but like as far as just actual performance, I'm never worried about that. Like, it's not like, great. Like, I'm always comfortable. I'm pretty confident, like, in that. But, like, as far as, like, I get super nervous talking to people. I get super nervous, like, if I have to say something in the mic, usually. You know, just, like, stuff like that's, like, I have leaps and bounds to grow before I think, like, I would just, you know, like, just deserve to have, like, a sold-out crowd every time, you know. But, like, I mean, I'm not going to stop working on it and working towards whatever is next.
Did the songs from Forever and Then Some shift or evolve the way you performed them in the past couple of years? Did you find room to kind of grow within those songs?
Do you mean like...
just arrangements or the way you play with them or okay. jam on them or...
You know, I say like a little bit. Not even so much. I feel like the songs kind of like structurally, I kind of kept things basically similar. But I also, the set list like is a pretty wide, you know? So I feel like if I was like, I'm gonna play 17 songs from here to there and we're gonna work on these and do different arrangements and like, and maybe that's something to focus on later on, but I feel like rework up an arrangement to an old song, I'd just say, let's just throw it away and do another one. You know, if I'm bored with it or something,
okay.
like, you know, I guess, but also I feel like there are songs that can be favorites or whatever, but like, there's a couple, like there's a song the last time that we recorded, and it wasn't on Forever and Then Some, but it was, we recorded it in that same batch of songs.
Okay.
It was an A side, or it was a B side. Like that song, I still play, like we play that song almost every show, maybe not every show, but like a lot.
Yeah.
And it's a favorite of mine, and it's fun to play, and I enjoy playing it. But like Wash Me Clean, I'm like, man, I don't ever want to, like, I'm like, I don't want to play Wash Me Clean ever again. You know, and it's like, I will, sure. If someone wants to hear it, I'll be happy to play it for you, but like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just like I couldn't allow, is it, or embellish or like that any more than like, I'm just like, I'll just do it the way it's done.
Fair
I don't
enough.
Desire to come up with a new arrangement. Sorry.
Did any of the new material start to emerge during these tours, or did you wind up writing this record in a stretch as you approached recording it?
I didn't write anything specifically for an album.
All right.
I'm just like, you know, whenever I'm writing songs, whenever they're coming to me, I'm just, you know, I'm just trying to jot them down. But so I just, same thing kind of similarly to like last time, like I just have a bunch of songs and it's like, here is a bunch of songs to choose from. So, you know, and, you know, the songs that we picked and selected just kind of were in theme. So I think, like, you know, there's always a handful of songs that fit that theme that are hanging around, that are straggling around.
Okay.
Also, you know.
Well, you seem to imply that your producer, Dave Cobb, was involved in that process. Is that what you're suggesting?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So take us through the story of how you got connected with him. Hottest producer in town, as they say. And how did he strike you when you first met him, and how did you know there was going to be compatibility?
Well, I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
I feel I started working, I mean, it came about, working with Dave came about through Ian, my manager, which I didn't even know about. Like, I kind of, you know, I live in my bubble, I play downtown, I do my gigs and stuff, you know. And like, and then all of a sudden, well, Dave's name, you know, and then I start hearing about Dave Cobb's name and, hey, what about Dave to, you know, Jack brought it up to me. What about Dave Cobb producing your next record, you know? And I was like, well, you know, well, wonderful. Like, sure, down to meet him, whatever it was, you know. And eventually, after maybe a couple months or something, I sent some demos. I recorded a bunch of demos on my phone, and I just sent them. I had talked to Dave on the phone for mm-hmm. a minute, and he was real nice, and we talked about, like, you know, some, like, some old bluegrass musicians and stuff, like, just, like, briefly. I was just like, cool, real nice guy. Easy conversation, you know. I sent over the demos, and he got back with me immediately and was interested in working with me. And, you know, and for me, like, I didn't have my shit together. I didn't have, like, a list of people I want to work with, or, like, what's my goals, or, like, you know, it's like I might have a structure or something. Like, I don't have anything. I was just like, I'm writing songs, I've got songs, but, like, I don't know who a hot producer is. Like, I wouldn't have any idea. And most of Dave's music I haven't heard or hadn't heard.
Okay.
So, like, you know, after, like, his name came up a bunch, I was like, cool. Eventually, I looked up some of his music, like right before we were going to record, you know.
Okay.
And I'd heard stuff like this Chris Stapleton tunes, you know, but, like, I'm just kind of out of the loop.
Did you have any internal concern, though, that with somebody as high profile as him, a producer as high profile and as successful, that you'd have to make sure that this wasn't going to be about, it's all about him and his sound? Or were you sure, quickly reassured that he's the kind of producer that lets you be you? And
right. Well, I think naturally that would be a concern. Just one might, you know, be like, oh, I don't necessarily want to be, you know, pigeonholed in a certain niche style of music or something. So, like, sure, maybe I thought of that, you know. Like, I love Waylon Jennings, you know, as much as or more than anyone in the world. Like, Waylon's my hero. I love Waylon. Mm-hmm. And, like, that, you know, that slight outlaw sound or whatever, like, I'm in there a little bit,
yep.
You know?
Yep.
Like, my music isn't, it's not, I don't, I'm not just making, like, you know, Waylon-like music, but.
No, but I get the spirit, yep.
So, like, that, you know, kind of, like, you know, so that excited me a little bit, you know, to, like, oh, cool, maybe that, and it, you know, and it's like, oh, great, awesome, so, like, that type of style, like, you know, the drummer Chris Powell, who played on the album, like, he played on all that, like, Chris Stapleton, he played us on most of Dave's stuff, you know, a lot of that, so it was like, cool, so, like, you know, that was different for me, that was real different, you know, I think I was just a little nervous about that, because I'm like, I've played, you know, I'm just super, you know, like, drummers or something, I'm like, I'm super, you know, and I've performed in all kinds of studio atmospheres, all different kinds of musicians, and really I should just be open-minded and more open-minded, but I was a little scared because of just kind of, like, leaned towards a certain style of drumming or whatever for, like, always, like, in my heart, or, like, what I love to play with, or, like, light-handed, like, I'm not super, my music's not super heavy on the drums.
Totally.
So, like, I was really, that was a concern for me, like, I was like, ah, I don't, you know, like, I've never played with this person before. Like, I don't know if I want to go in and, but that's all, it's all, you know, and looking back now, it's like, man, it was no big deal. We went in and played with amazing musician.
You also had your brothers and sisters who were at your side all the time.
Right.
Even after all these years, they're still the go-to most connected musicians in your life, right?
Probably.
Probably.
Yeah.
So can you describe, this is Historic Studio A, a big space, which people have to kind of work to picture, because it does play a role in the way you would feel in that place, A, the history, and then you're set up in sort of a circle in the middle of a rather large, almost basketball court-sized room.
Right, totally.
Yeah.
A lot of room in there. A lot of room. Like, okay, cool.
What effect did that have, if any? Did it feel a certain way?
Yeah, I think surely. I think anything like here, like, I personally love high ceilings. Like, mm-hmm. I've never lived in a home with high ceilings, but I've always dreamt about it, you know. Like, whatever. Like, you can, like, oh, great, you can breathe, you can grow. I think, like, you can, like, oh, wonderful, there's no roof on the place. It's like, you can just, like, sure, like, I felt like singing in there, it was easy to sing, like, it was easy to hit high notes and everything just because, like, mentally, there was no ceiling right there. Cool. So it's like, cool, I can go. You don't have a cap.
Yeah.
You can just, they can soar up. So I feel like, yeah, like I felt that for sure a little bit. But I like old, had the studio been completely renovated and like, or something, which I hope they would never do. Yeah. But like, let's just say that it was high ceilings in a brand new establishment. There's no way I'd be comfortable. Like, I'm very like, you know, super new or clean or sterile stuff. Like, I'm like, blah. I'm like, no thanks.
Right.
So that fact that it was old, yeah, and comfortable didn't hurt anything.
Cool. And the record's got this atmosphere. It's a little further afield from the first album, which, you know, felt like a, your songs have unusual shapes, but the arrangements there, I went back and listened, and you can sort of count the numbers of guitars, the bass drums, everything sort of has its place, pretty traditional approach.
Mm-hmm.
Here there's more ethereal sort of treatments and reverb and lovely use of vocals. Mm-hmm. I just love the way you like you said, soar, that's the word I
Thank
wrote
you.
Down.
Awesome.
And the harmony lines. Did you double track and make your own harmonies, or did you work with your sister?
I did harmonies on everything.
You did?
Which I wasn't planning on doing.
All right, tell
me
about that.
I was planning on, you know, what I had envisioned, bringing in some of my dear friends to come and sing mm-hmm. harmony on, you know, on everything you did. And it just ended up, it was just one of those things. It was like, cool, let's just see. I'll just throw harmony in. And it was just like, cool, let's just stack. It became a thing very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But
in fact, it
sense.
Leads the album. I mean, the first sounds that you hear is your
right.
voice is in the upper stratosphere, recorded
right.
many times.
Right.
And it really creates an environment. You know that something that's what's going to follow is something fresh for you. Is that fair to say?
Sure.
Yeah. Wanted to definitely ask about the last song, too, Love Tilly Love. That is an amazing sonic ride. And a lot of creative choices gone. Tell me about the song, because I want to play that one for folks.
Thanks.
And what led to this really unusual structure and sound and kind of deep atmosphere? How did that come together?
Okay, so this is one that my sister Scarlett helped me out with. Like, it's one of those things where, like, hey, I've had this song, I have this idea, but I can't. It's different, like, it's one of those songs where it's like, when in writing it, it's just weird. It's different. I don't know why it's like this, but this is how it is. So you're both, let's just try to figure out how to play it. So, like, I remember, like, I was, like, you know, sitting with Scarlett. Like, it was just written before. That was, the arrangement was just kind of, it came about, like, when the song was being written. The arrangement was written, basically. Like, that's just how it was. It was like, cool, when in writing it was just like, no, boom, it just was that way. It was like, that's just how it was written, all those little, like, and then, but like, I feel like the, like, Scarlett and I had been trying to, like, that like, it just was an idea with the song, like, from the get-go. And then, but like, and then when in the very end of it, when it goes to the major, it's just like, I feel like I'm glad that you mentioned that one, because I feel like that one, that and Golden Year are like my two favorites on the album, probably.
All right.
And like, in the end, I feel like I let a lot of stuff go this album, like lots is in that and checked itself. And it's done. Was done then, and the end. The when it goes to the major, I feel like, because that song was like, you know, it's like no love, daily love. Like, I was just like, in a place in my life where it was just like no love for a long time,
mm-hmm.
and mm-hmm. so like letting all that go, and then the very end of it, when the instrumental changes to the positive, I feel like it's just like release. It was like, there it goes, now it's gone, and it's like healing itself and it's over, and that was the end. That's the end.
Right.
That's the end of it. So I was like, cool. I feel like it got really captured. I feel like there's, it got captured. I don't know if it could have been captured anywhere else or within, you know, like had those ideas and it just came together.
What was Dave Cobb's reaction to how this thing began to stack? And did he say, I see what you're doing, now let's, you know, you add the right kind of delay on the vocals, mm-hmm. so that it's not just the call and response, but then you hear these echoes into infinity kind of thing.
Well, that...
That's pretty neat.
That came... So most everything we tracked live, like, and vocals, most live vocals, and so those parts, the talking parts and all that.
Yeah.
That was like one of the things that was like we tracked, but I wasn't ready to do that live. I couldn't list them all off and play guitar and do. I couldn't, like, I had to do it separately, you know. And we ended up doing that. That was the last thing we did. Okay. And so me being the person that I am, being super, I was really nervous, and I was like, look, okay, cool. This is like we have a final overdub, and Dave was like, oh, this. He was like, I think it's. Where it needs to be. I think it's finished. And I was like, well, there's more to the song. There's more lyrics that I didn't sing when we were doing the live part. So I was like, the chorus part or the verses, I was like there. And I was like, I don't even know how I'm going to do this, because it's like, it's not rapping, but it's talking. And I don't do that in my songs.
Mm.
Like, it's not a comfortable thing for me to do in any song. Like if I used to cover like Detroit City or something, I always sang the talking parts. Like always. I just like, I could never narrate or whatever through the song. It never came naturally. So for just the idea for me to be like, okay, cool, I have to, this is how it is, this is how it's written, this is how it came to me,
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna have to try at least. And so that was the last thing we did. And the engineer we'd worked with the whole time, he was filling in for Gina, I think. So, and he was just like, I gotta get out of here. It's like, this is fucking with my vibe.
Yeah.
He was like, this is too much, you know? But like, you know, so it was like, I'm just like reading off the list of everything, all the words. So I'm like, and it took so much courage. I almost couldn't do it. Wow. And like, but I was like, I have to. But Dave was like super cool about it. And he was like, well, let's just do it in here in the control room. Mm-hmm. And we did. So we set up whatever little microphone that he used that does that echoey reverb stuff, you know? And I just did it right there by the board, you know, and just did all that stuff. And it was really hard to do. It was, I have chill bumps. Like, I was like, wow.
How about
it
that?
It was so hard.
And that, it sounds like that's the moment. Sounds like that's the moment on this in these recordings that you pushed yourself the hardest.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm glad I asked about that.
Yeah. And you're the first person who's showed interest in the song.
I just sat there between the speakers, just drifting away on it. It's amazing.
Wow.
And I'm glad you remarked on the shift from the minor to major key, because that's something you do here and there, and it's a neat technique, and it's so effective.
I find myself like, even lately, a couple things have been, I was writing, like I found myself like kind of going there. I was like, cool, can't do that. I've done it enough lately.
Interesting.
I'm being mindful of that, because it does come naturally to want to do that.
Last question about the year ahead, the months ahead. The one thing I noticed that was this amazing run of dates with Robert Plant. What can you tell us about that?
So I'm filling in for his fiddle player, mm-hmm. for from October the 13th to, or September 13th to October 5th. So his fiddle player does some other shows, and they booked these shows like later in the year, and he already had dates booked, coinciding dates. So I filled in for his fiddle player one time before, mm-hmm. last October. And so I got the call to come out and do it again. And I'll be doing an acoustic opening with my boyfriend also. And like maybe my brother Frank might. And we might, I was like, well, when they asked if I would do it, then they asked if we would open too, because we opened the one show in St. Louis. It was a festival. It was Lou Fest, and it got canceled. Mm-hmm. Everyone was already down there in the show, and Robert had the theater. Is it the? I can't remember.
It's all right.
He had the theater booked already for rehearsal the day before, so he just, they just gave him the theater for the next night, and he did his show because all the whole festival was canceled. So, but then they needed an opener, and they had someone, I think it was like some kids or something, and he was like, maybe, you know, Lily can open. And Misa and I opened that show. So then, it was great. It went well. And they asked us if we could do the same thing. Mm-hmm. So it won't be like, it'll be different. You know, the show will be different than whatever I'll be touring the album.
Right, right.
But it'll be
Are some of these dramatically easier or harder than others, these songs, I'm waving the record, to perform solo acoustic? And some of them are just like, they seem like some of them could be challenging. Some of them lay out pretty well.
I mean, I think that, you know, something like Love Dilly or something, it wouldn't translate nearly as well.
Yeah. Probably. Unless you went into some super theatrical kind of space.
Right. And you could, or maybe with some reverb pedals or something, mm-hmm. which I don't use any of that stuff. So like I would require myself to start dabbling in another area, which would be cool.
Right.
I just haven't yet.
Yep.
But everything is like, our setup is like super dry and it's like normal. It's like, okay, cool. It's time to start experimenting with some, like, I've never had a pedal or anything. Like, I'm like, you know, I just haven't got there yet.
Wow, with your fiddle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God.
You know what? When I played for Jack, I used one of his pedals on one song, like a Paga pedal on one or two songs.
Yeah, yeah.
So I take them. I've used them once on that, but it wasn't mine.
I would love to wail on a fiddle with a bunch of cool effects right. pedals. Lily Mae, it's always a treat to catch up, especially now on the occasion of Other Girls.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations on this, and I wish you all the best as always.
Thank you so much. You too.